Blog Talk Radio.
But the seed is grown, I can't make it on my own. Someone came around and the flowers bloomed. He became the sun, I became the moon. Precious gifts that we both receive. What good is they make believe? What you gonna do when you...
And he's having some technical difficulties. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
How are you?
It's only Wednesday. That's how I feel about my week. It's been extensive. Looks at this life.
Okay.
How was your week?
There's nothing that I can't handle.
Right. That's a good sentiment. Are men truly not love unconditionally? So I do have the clip. Chris Rock said men aren't love men truly aren't love unconditionally. Only women, dogs, and children. I do have the clip. I'm trying to find it. I always upload it over here. I'm gonna play it. So everyone can know what we're talking about. Alright, there you go, it's about to play. Let's see.
Only children and dogs are loved unconditionally. Women, children, and dogs are loved unconditionally. A man is only loved under the condition that he provides something. Okay? I've never heard a woman in my life say, you know, after he got laid off, we got so much closer. No. I once heard my grandmother say, a broke man is like a broke hand. Can't do nothing with it. What kind of gangster shit is that?
So, you know, my social media friends always bring me topics. This is a really old topic. I think that comedy show was like 3 years ago. Was a special on Netflix. And they said, well, there were so many males who agreed, you know, being the man of the show, you know, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think that if a woman hasn't been, it goes back to the foreparents. If she hasn't been taught about that, then she wouldn't know. Because our situation is there's a sense of urgency in our situation. That doesn't mean that I love you any less. That means right now the urgency is aimed more towards the electric bill. You know what I mean? If my bills are in such ways, we ain't really got time to talk about love. Sorry, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
I got things to do.
So do you really, just because, me personally, like, I don't really put stipulations on other humans, but, like, if I have expectations for you, it's because we've built some kind of relationship, like, we have some kind of connection, but genuinely loving people unconditionally, that's never been a problem for me, because I don't mind meeting people where they are, so it's like, you know, you may not be for me, but I don't love you any less, you're just for someone else, and I think that's okay, like, my expectations aren't high, so it allows me to just see people as they are. And, you know, you
so
may
what
fit
does that
into
have to do with
you may not.
The situation, like unconditional loving, you know what I mean?
But
like,
I think
if we're in a relationship.
Yeah. If we're in, so we are, but I don't think I would love you any less if there was something you were unable to do for me.
And also, and even in that clip, it didn't seem like it was a partnership. You know what I mean? Everybody has bad times or bad moments where they're not on their game. So he's already leading on that she's out of here. You know what I mean? Because he lost his job. Now, just because your grandmother was materialistic or was whoring herself out doesn't mean that every other woman is.
Right. So you would disagree?
No, I'm not gonna. I can't speak for everybody, but
right.
I can definitely say that it goes to the individual's relationship. The way that they were both raised will play a part, because he's not really sitting around trying to think about love when, you know, the kids need milk or, everybody's talking about they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So love is a, we got to set love up on this empty pantry. We'll pick it back up after we get some cans in here or something.
So does the love go away because you need to bring something? Wouldn't that be the time in a relationship that y'all put growth and not apart?
No, I'm not saying we're going apart. We will be apart for a bit because I got to go hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I can't sit here and be laid up under the covers with you because with me croning in your ear and our stomach growling, that's not very harmonious.
You're right.
So we got things
but
to do. Now, once
there's no conditions on, so for me, I guess we got to get to the bottom of, for me, there's no conditions on the love I have for you because you're unable to do at that moment.
Well, no, it's not that I'm unable to do it. I got to get up and go do it.
Or because it's not there and why you're getting it. But that's your mind frame is that you have to provide. I get it. But I think the question is, you know, do you truly believe that you and I, that I would love you if something happened and we're later in life and we fell on hard times, do you think I would love you less because you're unable to provide at that moment?
No. I don't. But again, you know, we're talking about you and the way that you are and the way that your mind is versus, you know, the woman that he's dealt with, you know,
right,
including his grandmother. So it's easy to say now, if you will.
Yeah. And so I guess, yeah, because when you're in the moment, but
you probably like, baby, it's going to be okay. Just lay down for a little bit. You know, you'll get it together. And I'm like, nah, wear my sneakers. I got to go get it. Wear my axe. I got to go cut this tree down. I got to go get it.
Right. See, and I think that's where I came from with it. Because I just don't think, if you truly love somebody, like, I think when they're having those hard moments, that's when you, like, you overextend your love for me. Because I don't want you to think at any moment that this is only why I'm here. And the minute you can't, I'm gone. But that's just me.
Well, you know, so nowadays, everything is conditioned. Everything is transactional. And that's part of the problem. You know what I mean? Everybody is so quick to be on to the next one who can do more or who appears as though they can do more. It doesn't necessarily mean they will or they got it. You know what I mean? So that's the reason why I guess relationships nowadays really don't last, or there's no great intention to last. And even if you take it to, you know, the workforce, people bounce around jobs to get more and more money because that's what everybody's chasing. Everybody's chasing this so they can have an image, a certain image or lifestyle, or, excuse me, the appearance of a certain image or lifestyle. But in actuality, without financial literacy, regardless of how much money you make, you're still going to be poor, or you're still going to be broke. Poor is a state of mind, so I misspoke. You're still going to be without money, in debt.
Yes, because all those things matter.
That's the sad part. Yeah, we forgive him. You still, again, you got to know, your, as you like to say, your person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if since we've been together, you've known me to go get it. And now I'm in a funk and I can't get up and go get it. You know there's something wrong. So let's, you know, let's. This is where the support comes in. This is where the understanding comes in. This is where the communication comes in.
Yeah.
You know, and the respect, right? So you're going to coach me up and rub my back and, you know, massage my temples and give me words of encouragement so I can go get up and get it like I do and like I have always done.
Okay.
This ain't the time for you to go and get more active on your social media platform. Or he over there, acting, you know, antisocial, so I'm going to go socialize over here.
Oh, no. We can't operate like that.
Right.
I'm about half a heart attack. I think I always want to love the way I want to be loved. Like, I always give what I want, what I would wish to receive. And I don't think you should put, because when you, and a lot of people define love differently, right? Like, I don't think, like, people be like, oh, I love you. And, you know, sometimes, most of the times, they don't mean it. Or people think that, you know, a hard moment, then the love goes away. Like, if you can stop loving a person, now you may need to love them differently and from a distance, and I think that's completely okay. But if you seriously say, I love you, and then all of a sudden you no longer love this person, I wouldn't, me personally, I would say you never loved them. Like, if you love somebody, you don't stop loving them. That doesn't just turn off. However, you know, sometimes two people don't mesh well, and love gonna make me hurt you, but, you know, you move away from it. But I don't think, and I think that's the thing where people start saying that, I think that's how people are able to say they're not loved unconditionally, because they're not truly, they don't truly love those people. They love the fact of what you can do or what you are doing for them. And when you stop doing, that's when they have that problem. But then I guess it's about knowing yourself and where you are in life, et cetera. Like, some people, last year we talked about people looking for their saviors. You know, we women, we have conversations about sugar daddies and things like that. So, you know, that's a different conversation. But I think if you're truly in love with a person and y'all are building something and wanting to establish something, there shouldn't be any conditions on how you love that person. Like, nobody should be able to tell you, oh, you know, only he and she should be able to tell each other, you're not loving me properly. But there shouldn't be nothing from the outside that could tell you that, oh, your girl don't love you, or your man don't love you. Like, I just feel like there should be no outside, you know, nothing can tell me from the outside that my man doesn't love me. Like, nobody could say to me that you don't love me. That would have to be, something would have to happen, and I would be like, oh my God, you really don't love me no more. But we would go into that conversation, but we still would have a conversation about it, because if you truly love me, like I think you love me, like I don't think that would just go away.
It wouldn't. It would be a definite constant thing. And two, to your point, love shifts, right? This point in time, it may be physical. This point in time, it may be spiritual. It may be emotional, mental, whatever the case may be, right? So whatever you need at this moment, that's where the love is going to lift up most. You know what I mean?
Right.
If everything is good and the bill's paid and, you know, it may be physical. At the end of the day, you know, it may be more mental. It may be, you know, the massaging and the intimacy may be higher at that moment. So it really depends, but it will take you to know me and me to know you.
Right.
To really understand how love shifts. Now, we're still in love, yes. I still love you, yes. But at this moment, there's nothing else going on. So we have nothing else to concern ourselves with except the physical, and that's making each other feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But again, that's not for anybody else to make the call. That is for us to make the call.
Right. Helping. So now this second topic. How do you define dating?
How do I define what?
Dating.
Dating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, you know, we just went out kicking it. That can be considered dating. Now, once you and I are together, going out, we're kicking it together, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can be considered you and I on a date. That's a time for us to converse, to get to know one another, to express our interests, to express our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And see how it is. Now, we enjoy each other's company, then we'll go for a second date, a third date. And truthfully, dating really doesn't stop. Even when you're in a relationship, it doesn't stop.
Right.
Now, you may not be dating other people. There may be some exclusivity in that joint. However, it's the two of you, but it's got to be the parameters that the two people involved have said.
Right.
What about you?
Now, how does, I mean, for me, dating is just dating. I mean, like you may like me, but it may not go any further than that. You're just dating. Once we're in a relationship that we've established together and agreed upon. And why is it agreed upon? Because prior to the relationship that I'm in currently, male will put you in a relationship you're completely unaware that you're in and then get upset. But, like, I think it has to be clear. Somebody has to be clear on what it is. And then both of you have to come to an agreement. So, you know, you may be talking, and people think, like, you should only talk to one person or date one person. I don't believe that. I think when you're just dating for fun, you can go on 7 dates a week. I don't see anything wrong with that. Because dating doesn't equate sleeping together. And we talked about that before. But so many people think, oh, because she's dating 6 people, she's sleeping with 6 people. And even if she is, that's her business. It's not your business. But as long as there's some honesty going on, I don't see where that's a problem. But I think dating is just dating. It's just we're getting to know one another. We're trying to see if this could be something else.
Now, I get that. Now, you made mention of multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
Should it be known or made known that you're going to date multiple people?
So, I don't mind when I was dating multiple people. I don't mind sharing. Now, I'm not an oversharer. If you ask me a question, I'll answer it. However, because most males cannot handle that conversation, it's just like, I'll let you know you're not the only. However, your time is your time. If I'm out spending time with you, I don't need you to focus or worry about anything else. But I come with an honesty a lot of people don't like. And I'm completely okay with that. But most males do not appreciate that. And they feel like you should date only them when they've made no commitment to you, but you need to be completely focused on me while I'm focused on everything else.
Well, my question is, how can you get to know me if you're out with 6-5 other guys?
By getting to know you. Like, people can compartmentalize by getting to know you. Like, I know that I'm talking to Carpe and, you know, this is what we talk about and this is what, you know, you have to be, and I think you have to be well-versed in dating. And some people cannot date multiple people. But I don't see a problem if that's what you choose to do. I don't see a problem with it. Now, our situation is completely different only because when we started dating, I was looking for something intentional, as you were. So there was no need for me to entertain anybody else. Like, I felt something. I wanted to rock with it. I wasn't sure about it, but I wanted to rock with it and see where it could go. Therefore, I cut everything else off. However, I feel like if I was still, say, 3 years ago, if I was still in that space, you know, and you said something to me about you, me dating you exclusively, and that's where I wasn't, you know, it would probably be like, sir, no, that's not what this is about. We can go out. We can have fun. The only commitment I ever make if when I was dating, the only conversation I ever have, if one of the parties that I'm dating, if I decide to have sex, I will, by choice, choose to only have sex with one person. But that's me, a personal preference. But I don't think that a man should say to a woman, oh, I only want you to date me, if he has no intentions of taking that anywhere. Because then you'll be dating somebody for 3 years, and now you've wasted a lot of time.
Okay, so with that being said right there, when you start having that conversation alone, just that conversation of we're going to become exclusive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, is it this moment forward, instantaneously? Like, I don't even need to let these other cats know that been snatched up. Or is it like, you know what, I'm going to send out a mass text message and...
So... I didn't have to, so when I did that before, when I was dating, and then I decided that I wanted to take one of those parties seriously, previously, it just was like, you know, I just, and I mean, I guess typically, because I'm so honest, I'm like, oh, you must be got a boyfriend now, and I was like, that's none of your business. But don't call me no more. And I kind of leave it at that. We talked about how I just, you know, make me the director. However, that's how I run my life. Until currently. But I just, you know, I just stop entertaining those people. Like, you call me, no, we can't go nowhere. No. Like, I just don't even, like, I stop answering phone calls. It may involve a number change if necessary. Most of the time, typically, I give out a Google number if I'm going to give out my number at that. So, you know, there's no need for your text messages left unread and I just not answering any phone calls anymore for me. And I ain't saying that's right, but that's typically how it went. But, I mean, all of them were well aware that, you know, and it sounds bad, but y'all in rotation. And until I take somebody seriously, you know, at any day I could decide that this isn't what I want to do because that's my right. And, you know, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just trying to get an idea, you know. So this cat has multiple dates and all this kind of stuff. Why is it, okay, this is where the double standard come in. Now he recognizes a dog.
A man, so if a man's dating multiple women, he's a dog?
He's dating multiple women, he's a dog now.
No, I don't think that. And I think the problem comes in because men be lying, or boys be lying. First of all, and, you know, I used to have a saying, not say I make you feel like the only in a world full of many, right? But there's always an honest conversation. You can, if I am keeping company with you, you can ask me whatever you want to ask me. And if it concerns you, like if you say to me, are you dating other people or are you sleeping with other people, that is an honest question, and I should be able to answer it. If I'm entertaining you, there shouldn't be a problem with me answering it. It shouldn't be none of your business, none of that. Like, yes, I am. And there's your opportunity to be like, I want to be a part of this or I don't. But most males can't handle that. And then you got some males who feel like, oh, I'm going to be the top gun. So he wanna try to run the race. And that's his business, too. But then some men be like, oh, I don't want to be a part of your low rotation. And that's fine. But I think if you have an honest conversation, there shouldn't be any static if everybody's honest. I don't think men are dogs. I think men shouldn't lie. At the end of the day, most women raise their boys to be the whores that we call them, and they don't raise their daughters that way. For instance, my little brother, just as an example, he's 26, we're 9 years apart. My little brother had a good girlfriend in middle school, and my daddy told me I couldn't date till I was 30. That is the double standard that's always set by our parents most of the time in the black household, which is cool, but I don't believe men are dogs. I just believe that they should be a little more forthright and honest. And if somebody asks you a question, just answer it. Don't lie.
Okay.
I think if everybody's honest, you got the opportunities to pick and decide if I want to be a part of it.
I agree with that. I do.
You got a caller.
I do. See, let's take this call.
What were you about to say, and then I answer the call?
No, I mean, when all that's cool, you know, but I think sometimes the guy could be trying to preserve the woman's emotion. We don't know. We speculate. Or he, you know, every woman want to feel like they the best. So it's like, well, I'm kind of, you know, checking out the other fire to see if it's, you know, hot enough. And that, again, that doesn't mean I'm sleeping with them. So it could be like, you know what, but then she gonna remove her, you know, from the fire. So now it's just, because she can't handle the competition. Because what I've realized that a lot of women really don't like competing because they okay with being mediocre. You know what I mean? So if you step up against a real woman, she got to step her game up. That's like you're saying, how women, you know, don't want men, they want boys, somebody that will allow them to be complacent. But go ahead and take the call and we'll finish this up.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. How are you?
Okay. So, the topic of the show is, can men be, should men be loved unconditionally? Am I correct?
Are they truly not loved unconditionally?
Are they truly not loved unconditionally?
Mm-hmm.
Well, neither men nor women should be loved unconditionally until they earn that unconditional love. And they have to earn it by being, in my opinion, good people. But once they've earned that, once they've impressed the other person with the fact that they are good, that they can be trusted, that they have personal power, that they have an intellect, that they're interesting, that they're good in bed, then they should be loved for those qualities. And as long as the man or the woman continue to exhibit those qualities, then the man in particular should be respected and appreciated for those qualities. But the problem is that when a man does manifest those particular qualities, a lot of women take men for granted, and they shouldn't do that. And they take men for granted because they've been raised by their parents to believe that they're princesses, and especially if they know how to put on their makeup right and they feel entitled to be treated as a princess simply because they're a woman. So when a man comes along and he's a so-called real man, well, I don't even want to get into that right now because women have really messed up definitions of what a real man is. But when a man does show that he's a trustworthy, strong, intelligent, good in bed type of individual, that man is a prize. And the woman should not take him for granted. And if she does show appreciation and respect, which most men do not get from their women or their wives, that man in turn will make that woman happy. That's my philosophy.
Really? That is an interesting
perspective.
But why would someone have to earn the ability to be loved unconditionally? Like,
why does he have to?
Come with stipulations. Love is just love, and it's
well, love you.
An extension of you. Like,
mm-hmm.
You love your
We're talking about the quality of it.
Yeah.
The unconditional. You just don't come out the gate with it being unconditional. You got to develop that. You got to nurture that.
Also, when your host clapped and you kind of sounded surprised at that, why were you surprised?
Why was I surprised? Because I don't believe
that.
I think
that's
I
what I thought.
That unconditional love should come before everything else. Now, don't get me wrong. A man deserves to be respected, but, you know, I was raised to respect everyone, right? So as long as I'm not disrespected, you get that back from me coming out the gate. Does someone have to earn your love? Absolutely. But does your love immediately come with stipulations once you start loving somebody? Like, I just don't see that. I don't see where that's right.
I don't understand.
So, what? In other words, what he's saying is, so we got love as the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And it grows. As we nurture it, it grows. And as it grows, there's no taking it away. It's unconditional. Regardless of your health situation, regardless of the financial situation, it's going to be there. But it don't come out the gate.
Oh, yeah.
From the beginning, it's not going to be, I'm going to love you unconditional. We got to nurture it to become unconditional.
In a way, in a manner of speaking. What I was saying and what I meant was this. You're right. You can't just earn, you just don't get it out of the gate, because otherwise it'd be nice. Human beings could just love one another upon meeting them. When we're kids, we practically have that ability, because as soon as you hit, you get into the first grade and you're in the playground, you make friends immediately. You know, there's no introduction. You just play. There's a guy or a girl who's your friend. Sometimes you're your friends for years and years and years. But when you're an adult, you have to earn it. And when I say earn it, the same way I said before, if somebody meets me, they don't know me. They don't know if I'm a serial killer. They don't know if I'm a Nobel Peace Prize winner. So I have to show them who I am. And I have to show them that I'm trustworthy, that I have a brain, that I have personality, and once we go to bed, that I'm good in bed, that I'm an interesting person. Mainly, I'm trustworthy. And when I exhibit those qualities, if that doesn't impress the chick I'm dating, she's not worth being with. Then she's got to go. Then she can find whoever else you want. But if the woman I am dating understands my qualities and respects and appreciates those qualities, and if she's a woman who understands that, and if she reciprocates those same qualities to me, in other words, if I believe in her, trust her, think she's interesting, think she's good in bed, we can grow from there. And then we can develop love. But it's not unconditional, because there are people who have narcissistic personality disorder who exhibit all of those qualities, but they're phonies. They're deceptive. They want to make you fall in love with them so that they can hurt you. That's their baseline. They want to hurt you. A true, honest person wants to develop intimacy. A lot of women, I'll bet you as the hostess, you don't know this. A lot of men want intimacy, not just sex. What do you say, hostess?
A lot of men want intimacy. Men want intimacy. Most, I don't know if you listened before, but we have a running talk of males, man, boys, and men. Men want intimacy, yes, because y'all need a full coverage, like, to be, for lack of a better term, to be coveted in every form. Men want that. But that's not, you know.
Do men want intimacy more than sex, or do men want sex more than intimacy?
I think it's kind of like both.
Well, I know they want both, but which ones do you believe that men want most?
Most? I think they go hand in hand, and I would say they're 50-50 for a man.
50-50. Okay. So, if a man meets a woman who's good in bed, but doesn't provide intimacy, that's good enough for him?
It depends. If he can tolerate that, but I don't think so. I think he needs all of it.
Well, if he, you know. That's right. But let's ask your host. What is it that men, do men prefer sex, or do men want sex and intimacy, true intimacy with sex? Ask him.
Tell him what I want. Tell him what I want. You can't speak for men. You can speak for me.
Right. He wants both.
Well, yeah. Okay. Okay. A lot of women don't think that men want intimacy. A lot of women think that men...
I'm going to answer the question.
Yeah.
my guy, let me answer the question for me. We want intimacy and sex. We want intimacy more because it goes a little bit beyond just the physical.
Correct. And most women don't understand that. They don't think that. They think that men just look at a woman as nothing more than a sex object as opposed to being a true partner. And the true partner embodies all those particular qualities that I had talked about before.
But then if a woman thinks like that, it's not for the man to change that because of her psychological issues. That's her issue. That's not a we issue.
That's why a lot of men are leaving a lot of women alone. You know the MGTOW movement?
No, I don't. And
Okay.
I'm not gonna be part of that movement because my woman, she learned me.
Yeah, well, MGTOW means men going the wrong way. Right. It doesn't mean that men are bashing women. It just means that if a woman can't step up to the plate, the man isn't going to bend over backwards in order to try to please a woman who doesn't know how to provide the intimacy that a man requires. If she doesn't understand the psychological makeup of a man, then the men go their own way because a man is not going to try to change her. She is stuck on stupid. So that's what MGTOW means. So when a man finds a woman who actually has that type of psychological makeup, then they can get together. So men want intimacy. Women don't understand that. They say they do, but they just believe that a man just wants sex. And if a woman can provide cooking and cleaning, then she's a prize package. Well, she's not a prize package, okay? She's got to provide that, which makes a man feel that she is special. And just because she actually has some qualities of a housekeeper, that doesn't make her special. When a woman can be at a man's side when he's feeling down and out, when things are going badly, and she can still be there for him, that's a woman. When she can give him comfort the same way that he can give her comfort, that's a woman. Does anybody disagree?
No, we don't disagree.
Okay. But if you talk, I know, if you had three or four or five or six women on the show and you asked them probing questions about what you think a woman should bring to the table, what is it that you believe that a man wants in a woman, you would get similar answers, but a few answers would be very divergent. And that's because most women don't know what men want. Now, you also have in your title...
Real quick.
Yeah.
I think women... Some women do know what men want. They just don't want to give them that. Maybe it's beyond their capabilities. You know what I mean? Like, they just don't... They don't know how to apply what they've learned. And that could be where the problem come in.
Oh, if they don't know how to apply it, that's ignorance. But if they don't feel like applying it, that's being vacuous. That's being extremely selfish. That goes back to the Cinderella complex, where a woman feels entitled. Yeah.
But
where she feels like she's a princess and she... Huh?
But should we not? Do you have daughters?
Should we not what?
Should we, as women, should we not feel like we are the princess? Do you have daughters?
No, you shouldn't feel like you're a princess.
Why not?
You should feel like you're a woman who has to, because you haven't earned it. What makes you a princess?
Wait, your dad, your father makes you a princess. You were a man now. It's time to be a queen.
Right, so I'm just...
No, she's talking about if a woman in general. Yeah. If my daughters, if they are princesses simply because they were born female, no. They have to earn it. You have to show people in this world that you are a woman or a man. You can't just put on makeup, cover up your zits, show up and say, yep, well, I'm a woman, therefore treat me like a princess. But a lot of females feel like that. No. A woman is only a person who's just a human being.
Well, that's
she's got to show it.
That's because of the current market. The current market allows women to just show up. And that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
Without.
Now, it's always been that way. You can go back to the 40s or even prior to that. And you will see that women always believe that.
You can, because that's the programming. But that's the way girls think. Women don't think that way. Woman comes ready to work.
Yeah, but how? What percentage of women feel that way?
I really can't speak on a great percentage, my friend. I can't.
Okay. Well, I've been talking to men and women for 20 years. There are books written about that. When I said the Cinderella Complex, that's a book written about stuff just like that, where women believe simply because they're born women that they're entitled to certain privileges, that they don't, first off, they don't have to go into the service. They don't have to exert hard work, hard labor. Men are supposed to do that. Men are supposed to drive them around, entertain them, pay for the meals. And then even after you get married, if either one of them fall out of love, then the man has to provide for her through alimony or even palimony until she gets married again. This is the way the laws are set up. This is the way the culture is set up. And women go along with it. And again, as I've said, the prettier the woman is, the more entitled she feels. Now, if a woman is short, fat, and ugly, she still wants
then
the same
movement.
Kind of privilege.
They got movements for that now, for the short, fat, and ugly, by the way. Go ahead.
Like, really? What do they call it? What do they call that movement? Me too? Oh, yeah.
For
something
God.
Which was alleged 20 years ago. Yeah, so, no proof, but the guy's ruined his career over something which was alleged to have happened 10, 15, 20 years ago. Yeah, and, you know, and some of those women, they weren't all ugly. Some of them were good looking, but irrelevant. The fact is that when a female, you know, when a female has that opportunity, it's usually the man who usually has to pay up. So that's why men nowadays are saying, you know what, I got money, I got assets, I've got status, I've got stature, and for you to marry me, when I've worked my ass off 10 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week, you better show me something. This isn't about, oh my God, she's pretty, she comes from a nice family, she can cook and clean, she gives good head, let's get married. No. You know?
But I mean,
not anymore.
If we can get into that conversation, like, because I'm the only woman here, if we're going to get into that conversation, let's not stop and just not too long ago, I've always worked. I've been working since I've been 15. I don't mind providing, but my relationship is give and take. Everything that he gives to me, I have to give back because that's how I love him. However, just not too long ago, the men before you or before the both of you only wanted their women to look good. They didn't want them to work. They didn't want them to do that and know or actually have a brain. So you can't say women are out the gate. My daddy has always believed that. My daddy has 3 daughters, and we've always been his princesses. But that doesn't mean we didn't come with morals, hard work, and values, and know how to go take care of ourselves. That's not what that means. But I am woman. Yes, I am deserving. But I'm deserving because of that's who I am. Like, not because you owe me anything, is because I am going to do what I need to do for me, and you should do the same.
Where, like, and therein lies the problem. Because you just said,
if I don't work, and because my husband afforded me that opportunity to not work, but that doesn't mean that I'm lazy. That means he's afforded me the opportunity to take care of home, make sure he's good, make sure he's happy and fulfilled in all the ways that he needs just because I don't work. But I don't think that it's of any lesser value because I'm pretty or because my man thinks I'm a queen. I don't think I'm of any lesser value or because my daddy raised me to be a princess. I don't think anybody owes me anything, but I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling entitled because I am woman. We are supposed to be taken care of. We are women.
Like, where is that at in the
and therein lies the problem.
Armor and the protection.
And again, therein lies the problem. You believe that a man, any man, should be able to risk his life to protect or provide for you, and in particular, your man, your husband or your boyfriend. I guess you're married, so your husband. So if you were in a situation.
Mm-hmm. But if we were in a situation and I needed to protect him, that's going to happen. Like, there wouldn't be a second guessing. He wouldn't have to wonder about it. None of that. That would just happen. Because I know.
Maybe yes and maybe no.
Same for me.
Well, he probably would because that's the way we're trained. But for you to actually step up to the forefront and do that, if you, let's say there were three or four muggers coming along and they started jumping on your man after you got out of a restaurant, you may or may not jump in there. You may reach for your cell phone or you may scream and holler and say, somebody do something. So in any case, all of those situations, all of those particular behaviors that you would display would be considered right by society.
Let's figure out what's right by me as her man. If that's the case, you go pull the car around. I can handle three or four.
Say that again.
I told her if that's the case, since I am her man, yeah, I'm going to speak on this. She go ahead and pull the car
right
around. I can handle three or four.
Okay, so let me see if I got this right. You got three or four people who are about ready to jump on both of you, in particular you, because you're the man,
mm-hmm,
and you're going to tell her to bring the car around because you
we'll
believe you can handle.
No, I didn't
you
say
got
believe.
Okay.
I didn't say believe.
All
I
right.
I didn't say believe. I said I got it.
And, mm-hmm, and if she
and
wanted
what?
To, and if she wanted to jump in and help you, you would say, don't do it.
It would be a long conversation because I told her to bring the car around. You go ahead and jump in, and we fight like hell, or we shoot it up, whatever the case may be. It's going to be a long talk because I told you to bring the car around.
You don't have time to tell her to bring the car around. They've already jumped you. So how are you going to tell her to bring the car around?
She know me. She know me. What's understood don't need to be discussed. She know me. I don't
okay,
speak twice.
Then you didn't. Right. So then you
so
didn't
what I'm
tell
to
her.
To
she just feels okay. Right.
And all these conversations, all these scenarios have been played out. We've entertained
so
all.
So you've already
of them.
Talked
so like
about
are,
what happened.
Yeah, I already
okay.
told her. She already knows.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay. All right.
But that's the point.
Right, so
the point.
Okay.
The princess.
All right,
princess
so you've already discussed it. Yeah.
Yes. So that's good. Your father, he took care of you like a princess. That's fine and well. But now here we are in adult life. That cute thing kind of has gotten old. Now it's a pay for play, right? Meaning,
mm-hmm,
I go to work, you stay home. You're not a housewife. You're a homemaker. I've afforded you the leisure to stay home, but you're not just sitting at home watching reality TV. You're sitting at home, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're making sure that everything's good for when I come home. That's the part that you have left out, my friend. The girls nowadays, they just want to sit at home and do nothing. But the women
that
who are at
me.
Home,
yeah,
the
right.
women who are at home, they're going to make sure that all the support is there. They're going to pick up the dry cleaning. They're going to do everything to make your job easier All you have to do is go to work and bring home the bacon.
Well, then a substantial part of the relationship business, because most men, and nowadays, I don't know about most, but a lot of men, are thinking that just because a woman may decide to help out with the cooking and the cleaning, that's not enough. Okay? Every woman can cook and clean. Every man can cook and clean for himself without a woman. So if he's by himself and he's single, to have a woman cook and clean doesn't mean crap. What a man wants, and which you clapped, and which you clapped for when I first got on, was the fact he needs that emotional partner. Now, I personally don't care. Let's say, for example, I have my wife at home. She's organized enough where she doesn't have to take down the drapes every day. She cooks, she cleans. Everything is fine. She got a lot of free time. I don't care what she does in her free time. When I come home, I want to make sure that she shows appreciation and respect for me as a man because I earned it. I've already shown her for years what kind of man I am. I'm not going to cheat on her. I'm not going to lie to her. Whenever we have arguments, they're going to be settled properly. We're going to have intimacy. And if you have a problem, I'm going to try to help you solve it. If you don't allow me to help you solve it, then over time, you got to go. Because if you don't want help from me because of some trauma that you've undergone as a child or for whatever particular reason that's affecting you, then you can't have intimacy with me because you've got a psychological block. You got to go.
Okay.
Same thing with a man. If a man can't provide that those intangibles, because most men, you should know this, right? If a woman starts to cry over something, a man's going to reach out, draw her into him, then find out what the reason is. He's not going to say, babe, give me the ABCs of what it is you're crying about, and maybe we'll talk about it. He's going to grab her. He's going to hold her. A woman generally doesn't do that. And if a man has what she considers to be too many of those particular moments where he's feeling anxiety or he may be worried about his job or about certain other situations that come into play, she's not going to tolerate those moments certainly as many times as a man will tolerate those moments from her. So there's where the intangibles are very important. When both people can trust one another on the most important things in life, then you've got a relationship. If you talk to a lot of men, some men, maybe even a lot, will say, yeah, cooking and cleaning is important. But if you talk to them further in detail and you say, so, if the woman can cook and clean but is a bitch, do you want her? 99% of men will say no. And then we start talking about, then what is it that a woman should provide? Then a lot of men will start to realize, you know what? I've been missing out on the intimacy part of what the male-female relationship should be. That's why the MGTOW movement was formulated, because men were realizing, hey, you know what? I deserve everything that the female deserves and even more because I got to wear the hat of protector and provider. I'm the one that goes into the service to die for the country. I'm the one that's expected to beat off muggers and rapists. I'm the one that if the house is on fire, that's got to make sure that she's out first. The kids, of course, are out first and then her, or depending upon what they want to talk about. But then I got to always sacrifice myself for her. So if I have to do that, she can't be just somebody who's just going to show up and carry around the uterus. She's got to be somebody special. And cooking and cleaning just doesn't hack it.
Well, I'm blessed to say we're good in that regard. Everybody else, it's especially this generation, this day and age, it won't happen. It won't happen. Everybody's too self-centered, too self-caught up, and too hurt from the foreparents' issues. So, sorry about that. Look, that's the best way I can say it.
I mean, that just
I think you're right. I think
you got to have a conversation. So we talk every week about healthy communication. Like, if you meet a woman and she's just pretty, how many males will sleep with her because she's pretty and that works? That worked for years. And then they decide, oh, I'm missing out on the intimacy in 5 years. You knew that all along. You were never getting that. But she was pretty and she was a good lay. So that's what y'all choose to do. That sounds like a choice. It's not, if you're not having the conversation, if you're seriously talking in a relationship with a woman and y'all are having healthy communication and you've explained to her your needs, and she can't provide that, and y'all still get married, that sounds like a choice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you do that, if you have that that communication, as you call it, and he deserves more, but he's settling for less, then he's got a problem. If he's going to marry some chick just because she's pretty, and he knows that she's not, she's not really trustworthy, she likes to flirt, she might not even like to cook and clean, she actually likes to act bitchy, she likes to act like a princess and cause problems, then that is his fault, okay? If he knows that's what she's like, and he still wants to do it, okay, he's got the problem, he should get out of it, but that's his fault. He knows what he was, getting himself into.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But men do not, years and years ago, in the 40s and 50s, you were talking about women didn't have to have a brain, and they were forced not to work. To a degree, that's very true. And then in the 60s, then women wanted to work more, and men said, sure, let's bring home a second income. So that's been happening now for the last 60 years, where both men and women are bringing in the double income. But you have to have more than that. You have to have those intangibles. A lot of men don't realize until you talk to them about what it is that they're missing. Most women don't even know what it is that men need. A lot of you ask women, what is it that you bring to the table that you think a man really treasures in a woman? And you will get answers that when a man, starts waking up as to what he needs, what makes a relationship work, he will tell her, half of what you said, you don't give a crap about it. Like, for example, some women will say, well, I got mine. I got my car. I got my house. I got my job. I got my career. So I'm bringing that to the table. A lot of men nowadays will say, who gives a rat's ass? So what?
But in the same breath you said, she's not. So that doesn't mean anything, and she's not working. So you wanna, like, you either want it or you don't. So y'all still not having the conversation. Like, I know exactly what he needs because I asked him and he told me. Like, I'm not here to play no guessing game. We're like grown. So why not just explain to her, this is what I'm needing. You can't give it to me. So step aside. Like, I don't understand why that's a hard conversation or why not say that. But there are men that will say, oh, what do you bring to the table in regards to financial responsibility versus saying to her, well, I don't really need you to do nothing for me financially. I need this. But that's not the conversations that are happening. And when you say, what do you bring to the table?
But
that's what I'm doing for me and him to have. Like, it's not for me to explain it to anybody else or make them understand what we have going on. I think you have to define what works for you. And it's okay to say to her, you can't give me what I need. And vice versa, it should be okay for her to say, you can't give me what I need. But don't say, what are you bringing to the table? Because as a woman, immediately when you speak of men in a table, we are taught that men are supposed to be provided. That is what we were taught as children. And for most of us, that's what we watched our parents and our fathers be. So when you say to us dating out here now, what do you bring to the table? Immediately it clicked in my mind, well, what does he need from me financially? That was the conversation, because that's what you're asking about the table. Men brought the table, and we set the table. Like, that's what it was. That's what it used to be. But now you have so many conversations of what is she bringing to the table, and y'all don't outright say, well, most men don't outright say, oh, well, I don't need you to do nothing for me financially, but I need this. I need somebody to love me and support me and be my cheerleader when I'm down. All men aren't saying that.
I think a lot of men are probably.
We have more conversations now about what can she actually provide. Are we splitting the bills 50-50? These are the conversations. It's not, so when you say, what are we bringing to the table, how many men outright say, oh, I need my woman to be my cheerleader? Because that's a very broad statement.
If you
talk to a lot, what are you bringing to the table?
Well, that's your interpretation of it, because that's a normal expression. When a man says, what do you bring to the table? That's normal, matter-of-fact conversation from men who want to find out what it is that a woman has to offer. So regardless of whether you say, what is it you have to offer me, or what do you bring to the table, it all means the same thing. So if a woman is going to get confused and say, well, I don't know what you mean, or I'm thinking that when you say that, I have to bring something financial to the table, then they talk about it. The man says,
but if that's
not what I'm talking about. Or,
but that's not that's what I'm saying to you. Those are the conversations happening now. We have more conversations. I'm 35. So I came up in the move of social media and things like that. So the conversations now are more about, is she splitting the bills with me? You know, like, is she making the money I'm making?
And that's a kind of right.
Why men shouldn't get married and things like that, because they're not getting anything out of it. These are the conversations that are happening today. So when you say, what are you bringing to the table? Instead of just saying, this is what I need out of a woman. I don't need you to do nothing for me financially. Like, my thing is, just be honest about what it is you want, what it is you need. Either she can or she can't. And move along. Like, if she can't, step aside. And, I mean, if you're, like,
well, that's what I've been saying.
Some kind of stature, you have some women who will take advantage of that and pretend for a little while. But I think that's a girl state of mind. I'm a grown-ass woman. Like, I don't have that kind of time. So you tell me what you need. I tell you what I need, and it's either going to work for the both of us or it's not. But those are honest conversations that everybody needs to have in the beginning. But so many people start off, we having fun, we sleeping together, we making kids, 7 years gone by, or we might as well
making
get married.
Kids.
And nobody had an honest conversation. Yeah. Like, that's not, you know, these conversations aren't happening. Can you honestly
say, on a date,
I don't know if you're married, single, or whatever, if you honestly approach a woman, are you going to immediately ask her, what are you bringing to the table? Is that going to be our first conversation?
Why would anybody do that immediately when you approach a woman for the first time?
Why not? If that's what you're seeking and that's what you want, why not?
Because it's too soon. So if I meet somebody in a club, the first thing I'm going to say to her is, not that she's a good dancer, not that she's got a nice smile, not that she reminds me of somebody that I may have known. The first thing you want me to ask her is, hey, what do you bring to the table?
I mean, literally, after you get to know her and you feel like you want to build something with her. I don't mean like, oh, y'all meet in the club when y'all first... You know, like, not that situation, but what I mean is, like, you go out on a date, y'all are getting to know one another, and you think you want to make something lasting with her, you should have that conversation up front. You shouldn't wait a year or months to say or ask those questions.
Yeah, well, after a while, in a dating situation is different than getting into a relationship. What I've told people, is that if you're about to enter into a relationship, after you've been dating for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 months, depending upon what the time limits are for both people. Now they think they're ready to get into a relationship, but most times when you're ready to do that, you are basing your relationship on hopes and dreams, just like marriages. You don't know what each other is like in a relationship. You know what each other is like in a dating world, where you pick her up or she picks you up, and you're talking about the bill. Sometimes he pays, sometimes she pays. It all depends. Whatever's good for them. But when you get into a relationship where both people are committed to one another, I said, take out a piece of paper. Write down on the piece of paper. Now, this is after, let's say, 6 months. Write down what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, what the deal breakers are. Write down some situations which you think might be a deal breaker for you or for her. She should do the same thing and discuss it. This way, you know up front, to a degree, what it is you're getting into. You know that if she agrees to do certain things or not do certain things which you find annoying, and she says, well, I can absolutely eliminate those particular behavior patterns, then you say, okay, cool, we can get into a relationship. But if she says, nah, you're asking too much of me, then that's the time when you really have to reconsider whether or not you should really step into the fire. So you should do it objectively. You should ask those questions. That's when communication is really important. Because as you said, you don't want to get into a relationship and be there for 2 or 3 or 4 years and have these expectations, okay, that everything is going to be like Disney World. That's not reality. You should do it up front.
Right.
I can agree with that.
Well, in any case, I'm going to go. I don't know how much time you got left, but I got to go. So, all right. So
thank
take it easy,
so
guys,
much.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
I agree with some of it.
I do too.
I agree with some of it.
I agree with him. He is, I agree with him. I agree. That's all I'm going to say. I agree.
Where were we before that happened?
So, you know, it is, it's easy. We everybody have the answer, and it's based on the where you were raised, you know, what you were taught.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way to really mitigate through it is through conversation, right? So we come to understand that we have some communication and we respect each other's position and see if this is something that you are willing to let go of. Or if it's not that serious to you to do so.
Right.
But to his point, the part that's left out is the earning, right, of the, we just started. We just start, and don't get me wrong, I really hate that word, especially in this context. But we just starting out. You don't get the unconditional just yet. Now, we've we've gone sort of beyond, so we know that, you know, we'll weather any storm. But that's because we've had conversations and some communication. That's the difference.
Right.
That's the difference. Which is a big difference, by the way.
I mean, I'm a little too headstrong for us not to have conversations. Both of us are too headstrong for us not to have had the conversations we've had already. And I just, I don't know. That, I guess for me, unconditionally, it just means love without condition. There's no, you know, there's no stipulations. There's no warrants. There's no, like, you know, like once it happens, it's there. And, you know, nobody can change that but you. And that's where I come from on a stance of it. So, okay. But I get it.
But it's real easy for, that's in a perfect world. You know what I mean? But coming from the gate, everybody, you don't want everybody to have the same pleasures as you.
Right.
You know, you don't want everybody to have the unconditional. I got love for you, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to, you know, sacrifice the mortgage to help you get your car to impound.
Right. I get it. Healthy thriving. So, did we ask the last question? Should we really be on dating one person at a time?
Say that again?
I think we did. I was asking, did we ask the last question of should we really only be dating one person at a time?
I think that as long as you're upfront, but I don't really understand how you're going to get to know me if you're, you know, spread thin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I think, I mean, the point is to get to know me, or the point is to get a free meal. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think there's different stages of dating, I think.
I can't hear you.
I said I think there's different stages of dating. And then you have to define what dating is between you and that person. You know, like you said. Like, because you can choose to date somebody exclusively. Like, you know, but y'all have to have that conversation. But, and like I said, most males don't like sharing. Like, they want to be the only. But you're not, they don't make you the only.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not. I just feel like People have to do what works for them. I knew what worked for me. Didn't always work for others. But that's, you know, I give everybody an opportunity to choose. Like, you'll never be left in the blind. You don't have to guess. Listen, you're not it. And I think everybody should be comfortable saying that. I think a lot of people are concerned with hurting feelings. Your feelings are not really, if you're not, depending on our relationship, most of the time, your feelings aren't that important to me. Like, how you get upset about something I said or something you've experienced in regards to me is really not my issue. Unless I actually, like, if I love you, like, your feelings matter. Like, I want to make sure you're good, make sure I'm not hurting your feelings, especially intentionally. But if we're just, like, if I'm dating 7 people and I've let you know that and you choose to continue in that and then you're upset because you want to change from Thursday to Tuesday and I'm like, oh, no, I got to date with somebody else on Tuesday. Like, that's not my issue that you're upset because you knew. Oh, I already explained.
So let me ask you this. So you dating 6 people and you sleeping with one, right?
Right.
I'm who you sleeping with.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. And you, I'm gonna need to tap that ass on Tuesday. I know usually, you know, it's Thursday. Remember in your rotation, I was Thursday. So what are you going to do? Are you going to say, nah, I got a date? Or how's that going to play out? How's that going to be handled?
So if we're only sleeping together, we're not committed, no, you will be upset.
You going to be upset. hopefully you ain't eat too much because when you get home,
but if that's the understanding we have, that's okay. Like, if I choose, and you know, like, there's some kind of feelings you develop. So, like, if I like number one more than I like number 6, you know, some of them could be dropped out the rotation. But I don't ever tell women or girls that, oh, you should only date one person.
No, you date what you can handle. Because what's good for you isn't good for everybody else. What you can handle, I mean, everybody else can handle it. You know what I mean? Maybe she can't go out on 6 dates a week without, you know, going to bed with 6 different guys a week. Maybe she can handle it and you can. Who knows, whatever the case may be. So it's not really, I'm not going to say fair, but it's not fair for you to say, you know, don't do this. Me personally, be careful. That's all I got for you. I'm going to let you have that. You handle that. You be careful. That would be my advice. Now, I'm man enough to bow out gracefully.